Now then, now then, now's about that. Then, now then, now then, now's about that. Then, do you see? Do you see? Now then, now's about that. Then, goodness gracious me.
Your first name, please.
Now then, how's about that then? Do you see, guys and gals? Goodness gracious, guys and gals, how's about that then? Now then, now then, jewellery, jewellery, how's about that then, Jimmy?
Beg your pardon?
Now then, how's about that then? Do you see, guys and gals? Goodness gracious, guys and gals, how's about that then? Now then, jewellery, jewellery, how's about that then, Jimmy?
So, your name's now then, how's about that then? Do you see, guys and gals? Goodness gracious, guys and gals. How's about that then? Now then, jewellery, jewellery, how's about that then, Jimmy?
How's about that now then, guys and gals, goodness gracious, as it happens, how's about that then? No.
So what is it then?
As it happens, guys and gals, do you see, how's about that then, as it happens, jewellery, jewellery, lovely, lovely, how's about that then, goodness gracious, do you see, Jimmy?
Right, so it's not now then, how's about that then, do you see, guys and gals, goodness gracious, guys and gals, how's about that now then, jewellery, jewellery, how's about that then, Jimmy? It's as it happens, guys and gals, do you see, how's about that then, as it happens, jewellery, jewellery, lovely, lovely, how's about that now then, goodness gracious, do you see, Jimmy? Yes?
Now then, as it happens, jewellery, jewellery, do you see, clunk, click, every trip, it's not, now then, how's about that then, do you see, guys and gals, goodness gracious, guys and gals, how's about that then, now then, jewellery, jewellery, how's about that then, Jimmy, or, as it happens, guys and gals, do you see, how's about that now then, as it happens, jewellery, jewellery, lovely, how's about that now then, goodness gracious, do you see, Jimmy, it's now then, how's about that then, do you see, how's about that then, guys and gals, goodness gracious, how's about that then, Jimmy? But without the now then, how's about that then, do you see, how's about that then, guys and gals, goodness gracious, how's about that then, bit at the beginning, do you see?
I see, so your first name's Jimmy, is it?
Now then, how's about that then, as it happens, yes.
Right, and what's your last name?
Now then.
Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They'll watch a rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to podcast number 24 from watchwithmothers.net. My name's Swineshead. Hello. I'm here with Napoleon.
Hello.
Hello, Napoleon. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. Looking forward to the 2012 Olympics.
Well, you've got a bit of a weight on your hands, surely.
Well, you know, I mean, I suppose it builds up the excitement, doesn't it? If I start getting excited now, I'll be ever so excited when it happens.
I suppose so. I noticed the doom and gloom kind of stories have disappeared, really, haven't they?
What, the naysayers?
Yeah, the naysayers complaining about it now has given way to a kind of positivity about the whole palaver.
Well, down your end, surely. Not your end, your end. You must be quite happy, isn't it, regenerating your whole area, your area?
Not really. They've put a skating rink in deepest East London, but apart from that, not really, no.
Roller skates?
Yeah, some sort of skate. I don't know. What sort of skates can you get?
Well, you can get roller skates. You can get ice skates. That's it.
Must be roller skates, then.
Roller skates. So you've got a roller rink. So the Olympics has brought your area a roller rink.
And that, my friend, is regeneration.
Bloody lovely. So, how are you then?
I'm very well. The sun's streaming through my window in November.
Not right,
nice.
Matt.
Nah.
Not right. I walked out earlier today and there was a wasp.
A jasper?
A jasper. A wasp. Couldn't believe it.
What happened?
Well, nothing. I mean, it just flew past. But the point being, what's a wasp or a wasp or a jasper? What are they doing out at this time of year?
Well, you could ask Archie Mitchell that, couldn't you?
Why ask Archie Mitchell?
Did you not watch EastEnders?
I did, yeah, but what was it, last night's?
Yeah, he had a wasp's nest in his attic and he was going on about how they'll be asleep in November, but then Billy pipped in with, no, they don't sleep till Christmas.
Oh, no, I missed that one. I think that must have been Monday's.
Possibly. Anyway, we are not today talking about the topic we floated at the end of the last podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I think it should be me apologising, because it was me that put forward the motion.
Carry on.
So, I apologise. We are not talking about violence in this week's podcast.
No, we did try, didn't we? We had a preliminary meeting thing.
A grasshopper.
A grasshopper. And we did try discussing what violent things there were in the world. And the only thing we came up with was Danny Dyer, Ross Kemp, and the A-Team.
And Michael McIntyre.
And Michael McIntyre. Well, who wants to listen to that?
Is it Michael or Donald? It's Donald.
Michael McIntyre's a comedian. Donald McIntyre is the Irish fella. Is he Irish?
He's not very violent.
He's not very violent, so that would have been rubbish. Danny Dyer's a wazzock. Ross Kemp just goes on about gangs. It would have been rubbish.
Yeah, I think we were very brave, actually, to change our topic. And it was a very headstrong move from me to relent on that and give way to a better idea.
Right, exactly. What is that idea?
Well, it was yours, so you tell us.
Well, I think everybody will be happy. Well, everybody who hasn't read the site and has seen the picture of the man and the blurb about the man, but everybody who hasn't seen that will be happy because today we're doing Sir Jimmy Savile.
The King.
The King. How's about that, then?
Well, now then, now then, now then.
Now then, now then, now then. Jewellery, jewellery, jewellery. How's about that, then? Goodness gracious me.
Guys and gals.
Guys and gals. Jewellery, jewellery. How's about that, then? Goodness gracious me. Jewellery, jewellery. Do you see? Guys and gals. How's about that, then?
Now then.
Now then. Now then. Now, the problem with, obviously, doing your Savile is you do have a tendency to get trapped in a sort of now then bubble. So we're going to have to try and avoid that today.
Well, you've clearly got a list of his catchphrases in front of you. I haven't got that.
I haven't. I've been, all morning, I've been researching Savile. I've been doing nothing but researching Savile. So I now have, in my head, going round and round and round. Now then, now then, now then. Jewellery, jewellery, lovely, lovely. How's about that then? How's about that then? Guys and gals, jewellery, lovely, lovely. How's about that then? Now then, now then. See what I mean?
Well, yeah, in a funny way, you must kind of share a condition with Jimmy Savile at the moment, because that's clearly all he's got going around his own head.
Well, that's it. I've got Savileitis. Jimmy Savile is the only person, I think, that can make entire paragraphs just from his now-then, now-thens, jewelries, how's about that-thens, and all that. He can make whole paragraphs just saying all his catchphrases.
Which is pretty impressive. That means he's got a whole stock of are they decent catchphrases?
Yeah, they're sort of decent. I mean, you give it a go. Give it a go. Say something to me, but only use Savile catchphrases.
Now then, guys and gals. How's about that, then? Now, as it happens, how about that, then?
I agree with you, Sir Jimmy. See?
Well, yeah, that worked a treat.
Well, I suppose we better get on with it, then, haven't we?
Now then, now then.
Now then, now then, now then.
Now.
Then.
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chatters. It's Watch With Mothers. It's Watch With Mothers.
Now then, guys and gals, goodness gracious, as it happens, I do believe, do you see that Napoleon has a speech prepared?
I do. This is an introductory speech to today's podcast. Shall I read it?
Yeah, you can do it now then.
Okay, here we go. This is a speech. Now then, how's about that then? Guys and gals, welcome to this commemorative edition of the Watch With Mothers podcast, coming for 1 week only from the cupboard where Sir Jimmy Savile keeps his late mother's clothes preserved in polythene bags. Do you see? In his 2,000 years in showbiz, guys and gals, Sir Jim's had his ups, he's had his downs. But through it all, he's retained his mischievous sense of fun, his way with small children, and his faintly disturbing hairstyle and wardrobe choices. Now then, in celebration of his glittering career, we here at Watch With Mothers today pay tribute to Sir James Wilson Vincent Savile, Order of the British Empire, Knight Commander of St. Gregory, bouncer, wrestler, disc jockey, fixer, runner, an all-round television good egg. Or bad egg, if you saw that documentary. Jewelry, ladies and gentlemen, Sir Jimmy Savile.
Goodness gracious, that was a what I would call a fitting tribute to a legend.
Did you like that?
I liked it very much. I think Jimmy would like that as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, apart from when I called him a bad egg, I think there was nothing in there. Because you warned me that I wasn't allowed to say certain things, so I didn't say them.
No, that's good. And no talk of any of that, please. None of that business.
We're not talking about allegations. I think we know what we're on about. We're not talking about any of that. We've got too much proper Savile to be going on with. Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, what's that?
That was me slapping me pad, which is full of Savile.
So, I noticed you mentioned the Duchess.
The Duchess? That was Jimmy Savile's mother, Agnes.
Yeah.
Love that woman.
Yeah, maybe that's a bit beyond the pale.
Well, no, I'm just saying that we're presenting it from the clothing where he... I mean, the cupboard where he keeps his mother's clothes, that's wrapped in polythene, which he does.
It's not strictly true, though, is it?
Just in case she comes back. Well, you never know.
You never know. The early years.
The early years, yes. Savile, the early years. So, what do you know about Jimmy Savile?
You reminded me that he was a wrestler before his career.
He was indeed. One of his many career choices was a professional wrestler.
I knew for a fact from the Louis III programme that he owned nightclubs and ran them with an iron fist in deepest Leeds.
He certainly did. In fact, he managed the Plaza Ballroom in Manchester in the mid-1950s. I think that's where he ruled it with an iron fist.
I also know that he had quite a long stint on Radio 1 alongside Noel Edmonds.
He certainly did. He was on Radio 1 from, let me just check my notes here. He was on Radio 1 from 1968 to 1987. That's a good long run.
That's almost 20 years.
Mm. Yeah, that's a lot of Savile magic.
What, do you know what shift he was working?
I think he was one of these, I didn't write that down.
Well, you should have. I mean, that's
right.
That's got.
Well, I think he was doing something along the lines of Fluff Freeman, where he presented some kind of hits of the 60s, top of the pops, whatever kind of thing. You know what I mean? Before that, he was on Radio Luxembourg, so I'm assuming he was just doing normal DJ duties.
Right. Okay. So we don't know what shift he was working, basically.
I don't know his shift. It wasn't Breakfast Show. That was your Blackburn, followed by your Edmonds. Followed by whoever it was. Who did the breakfast show after Edmonds?
Christ, I don't know.
Well, we'll have to get to this. But to get back to the early years, Savile the early years. Do you want some information?
Well, he did Radio 1, and then it was Top of the Pops. The rest,
as they say,
is history.
There's more to his early years.
Right, go on then.
Right, yeah, he's born in Leeds in 1926. You ever been to Leeds?
I've passed through once.
Well, at the moment, the good people of Bradford can finally say, with evidence, that Leeds stinks. There's animosity between those two cities. With a bin strike in its, I think, ninth week, the city does now officially stink.
So they're not taking the bins away. Is that all the bins?
All the bins. There's a bin strike going on. It's been going on for 9 weeks. If it was in London, it'd be the lead story on the BBC News, wouldn't it?
Well, probably, because London's more densely populated.
Well, that's neither here nor there.
Well, it is, because they'd be...
So he was born in Leeds, 1926, which makes him 83 years young.
Well, it is either here or there, because there's more people. There'd be more rubbish and more stink.
Yes, but the very fact that a large metropolitan area has had no bins emptied for 9 weeks, and that hasn't even made the national news, don't you think that's strange?
Not really, because only about 40 people live in Leeds. They can take their rubbish themselves.
40 people don't live in Leeds. This is ludicrous. We've got about 40 people. For a start, you could say that, say, because Jimmy Savile lives there, he's about 80 people all in himself.
How is Jimmy Savile 80 people?
Because he's 80 people. Imagine 80 Jimmy Savils all running towards you, in tracksuits, with cigars. Going, how's about that then? How's about that then? That's what Leeds is like. I've lost my train of thought.
That's a vision of hell, but the fact is, he's not 80 people, he's 83 years old. You're getting confused.
Oh, that's right, he's 83, there's not 80 of him. Right, shall I move on? He was in. Do you know what he was in the war?
Gunner?
No, he was a Bevin boy.
What's a Bevin boy?
A Bevin boy, they were under the jurisdiction of Nye Bevin, who, anybody who's into legend, you know Tony Benn?
Yeah, I know Tony Benn, yeah.
Yeah, well, you'll usually hear Tony Benn within about eight sentences going about how great Nye Bevin was. He was the one that came up with the idea of the NHS, if memory serves.
Mm.
But at the time, he was a minister in Churchill's government, I think it was, and when he had conscription, so you'd either go in the army, you'd go in the navy, or you'd go in the air force, or you'd become a Bevin boy, which meant you went down the mines.
Oh, right, okay, to keep industry going, sort of thing.
Yeah, so he was a conscripted coal miner during the Second World War, which not only makes him a brilliant DJ and fixer, but also a war hero.
Well, isn't that only one step above a conchie?
No, it's not, because you had no choice. What you've just done there is piss on the memory of the Bevin boys.
No, sorry, Bevin boys up there in heaven, or even if you're still walking the earth. I said that from a position of cluelessness, and I withdraw my penis, and I'd like to stop pissing all over you. Sorry.
Good. Because that's, especially seeing as we come up to Remembrance Sunday, what you've done there is you've not remembered them. At the going down of the sun, you forgot to remember them. You bastard.
I blame the education system, not myself, for that.
Well, I went through exactly the same education system as you, and I know about the Bevin boys, and I didn't piss on their memory.
Well, you were listening at different parts to me, clearly.
I was clearly listening in history, whereas you were listening elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right, so, shall we move on?
Well, you say you've lost your train of thought. Where were we?
Right, well, we're past Savile's war years, Jimmy Savile's Second World War, yeah? We're now on to post-war Savile. Did you know that Jimmy Savile is credited as being the first disc jockey in the world?
I did not know that.
Yes, it comes from the fact that he's the first man to play records in the dance halls of the 1940s, and is credited with at the Grand Records Ball at the Guardbridge Hotel in Leeds in 1947, was the first man to combine two turntables and a microphone for continuous music.
The more you talk to me about Jimmy Savile, the more my admiration for the man grows.
I know. I was genuinely surprised when I heard about Jimmy's early years. I thought, he probably beat people up in a nightclub, then got a job on Radio 1. But as is being shown, he was a minor war hero, and he invented DJing.
Right. How did he get into wrestling from his position behind the decks?
Well, at the time, he was a hospital porter and, what was that? Hold on. A semi-pro cyclist. He took part in the first Tour of Britain.
Where are you getting all this from?
Hey?
Where are you getting all this from?
The history of Jimmy Savile.
Right, okay, carry on.
Yeah, and then went off to be a pro wrestler. To paraphrase the man, nobody wanted to be beaten by a long-haired DJ, so he lost the first 35 fights he ever did, broke every bone in his body, and to quote Savile, I loved it.
Right, 35 fights. Did he win the 36th?
I think he did win his 36th fight, yes.
Who was that with?
Big Daddy?
He wouldn't win in a fight with Big Daddy, unless Big Daddy was dead.
No, I think he would. I mean, you've got Big Daddy there, yeah? Limbering away. Ooh, I'm Big Daddy. Come to me. Like that. And you got Sam. How's about that then? How's about that? That he's faster, for a start.
Yeah.
Your Big Daddy's slower. He's like, oh, Daddy. And he's, how's about that then? Like that. And before you know it, he's tripped him up.
So it was a simple trip, did the job.
Yeah, it was a simple case of, how's about that then in? Maybe a few jewellery in. and a bit of goodness gracious like that. Meanwhile, all Big Daddy could bring to the table was lumbering about.
Right. So he had fight number 36, and then he set up a nightclub in Manchester.
Yeah, well, no, he managed a nightclub in the 50s, but then he was a wrestler after that, and then he got a job on the telly presenting a programme called Young at Heart, which apparently was a music show, though I'm buggered if I can find out anything about it, so you'll just have to take me word for that. But you actually do know a fact about the programme Young at Heart.
Do I?
You do. It was broadcast in black and white, but...
Oh, he dyed his hair different colours for every episode, so he'd have...
Every week!
He'd have blonde hair one...
How crazy is that? That, to me, is pioneering Radio 1, old-style Radio 1 DJ behaviour.
Well, it's truly eccentric, because it was black and white.
Yeah, you can imagine Travis doing something like that, Edmonds, definitely.
Not really, I don't think they'd push the boat out that far.
What, you don't think Dave Lee Travis would dye his hair?
No, he's too vain, isn't he?
Well, I suppose he was a bit vain, you Travis.
So, should we move on?
Yeah.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of What With Mums. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate into a cup. What With Mums.
So I think we've covered Savile's early years in glory.
We have, yes. I think that was beautifully done.
What wasn't beautifully done was the recording of this section, which we've just done and then lost.
No, yeah, exactly. This is now times two. This is a second time we will be talking about Top of the Pops.
Yes, Top of the Pops. His next move after he demolished his nightclub, told Radio 1 to stick their job up their arse.
Got off his bike.
Yeah.
Stop wrestling people and stop presenting the mysterious Young at Heart show.
And cleaned coal off his face from the Bevan era.
From the Bevan era. Stopped playing dance halls, playing records in dance halls. And all that was he went over and he was the first man to present Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops, which will be a familiar show to most people, I would imagine, over the age of 18, 19, maybe even younger.
Maybe even younger, yes. Sadly, well, it finished on the 30th of July 2006, so... well, for most people, I think, probably about 10-ish. They'd probably just about remember it, wouldn't they?
I would have thought so, but it was a very different beast towards the end of its lifespan than it was at the beginning.
Well, yeah, it was all your Fern Cottons by then, wasn't it?
Was she on it? Probably. Some bloke called Reg.
Yeah, your Fern Cottons, your Ollie Willer thingamabob, your Vernon Kays, all that lot.
Yeah, it just wasn't the same as back in the day when you had the Premier League, which included, of course, at the head, at the summit, the Manchester United of the Top of the Pops presenters, Mr. Jimmy Savile.
Mr. Jimmy Savile, yes, exactly. Well, as I say, he was the first man to present Top of the Pops, first presented on New Year's Day, 1964, so that was back in the groovy days. Do you remember the groovy days? Now then. Good evening. Welcome to Top of the Pops. Now then.
Yeah, that was how he did it, wasn't it? No, that wasn't how he did it.
Well, that sounded a bit... That actually sounded more like Scooby-Doo, didn't it?
Scooby-Doo crossed with... Well, the voice was far too low. I'm trying to work out who it sounded like.
Well, hang on a minute. How's about that then? No. How's about that then? Goodness gracious, as it happens, guys and gal, is that any better?
No, you need to inject it with a bit more John Pertwee sort of Wurzel Gummidge style.
How's about that then? Goodness gracious! As it no, that's what Wurzel Gummidge. He doesn't sound like Wurzel Gummidge.
He does a little bit. He's kind of got that there that sort of sound.
Well, out there. Welcome to Top of the Pops. How's about that then?
Maybe not.
No, that doesn't sound right at all. Wurzel. Was that how Wurzel Gummidge used to sound?
Look, we're going off topic.
Sorry.
Top of the pop. So he presented it. Who was he coupled up with? Because back in those days, you didn't have your... in the 60s, I'm struggling to even think who presented it with him.
Well, at the time, it was your likes of your Diddy David Hamiltons and People like that. Peter somebody or other. I mean, it wasn't until later, the heyday of the 1970s, that it really got going with what I would describe as the greater, the lesser, and the also-ran DJs that he crossed swords with in those times.
Crossing swords?
Yeah, he crossed swords with some big DJs back then.
Well, that has two meanings. That either means that he fought them, or that he went to the toilet with them and combined urine streams.
Well, he could have done that, or there's that other one where they knock them together.
What, is that crossing streams?
Well, no, crossing swords, not crossing streams.
That's what I mean.
You know, knocking them together.
What, knocking their winkies together?
Yeah, knocking them together. I mean, imagine Jimmy Savile and Tony Black, but no, that's sacrilegious.
It's grotesque.
Yeah, I'll go for somebody lesser. Imagine Mike Smith and Mark Goodyear smacking their willies together in a public toilet. No, this is, I'm writing tangent here. Hold on. Tangent. Tangent. Right. Anyway, yeah, he crossed swords with the greater and lesser species of DJ over the years. Would you like me to have a rundown of what I consider to be the greater DJs?
I would just like to point out that I probably won't agree with what you're going to say. I don't think most of the listeners will agree with who you deem to be the greater and lesser. And we should make it clear that this is purely Napoleon's opinion. Begin.
Right, okay. The greater DJs, Alan Fluff Freeman. Do you remember him?
Yes, undoubtedly
right.
In the...
not half.
Yeah, definitely in the top.
Right, he's in the top. Okay, Dave Lee Travis.
Okay.
Okay, Tony Blackburn.
Yep.
David Kidd Jensen.
Okay.
Right. Simon Bates.
No, definitely not.
Whenever you rent or buy a video. Do you remember him?
Sexual swear words.
Exactly. Well, why isn't he in the top flight?
Because of that introduction he did about video piracy and the BBFC.
Right, you don't like him for that reason?
I just didn't like the way he said sexual swear words.
Sexual swear words. We'll have to beg to differ on that. In fact, I think we'll have to agree to disagree.
Okay.
Right, and finally, in the greater section, Noel Edmonds.
Undoubtedly.
Undoubtedly. So now we move on to the middle tier, or what I would like to call the lesser of the species. This isn't lesser in the fact that they're bad, it's just they're not up there with the T-Rexes, the greater DJs. Are you ready?
Yep.
You're Steve Wright. No?
Well, I don't disagree that he's lesser than the others, I just don't like him at all.
Pat Sharp.
Yeah, okay.
John P.
No, definitely not.
What do you mean, why?
Well, he should be in the top, shouldn't he?
No, he shouldn't be in the top. Why should he be in the top? Why? What's he done?
Well, he's one of the most loved Radio 1 DJs of all time. His show only ended because he died.
Yeah, but he's no Simon Bates.
I think you should just carry on. We'll forget that.
Okay. Janice Long.
Okay.
Mike Reed.
Is he from Saturday Superstore?
Yeah, Mike Reed. He used to wear glasses. He was the one that refused to play Frankie Goes to Hollywood on the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, him. He was irreligious.
Something like that. It's just not... Yeah, I know the one.
Yeah, he's definitely a lesser. And Gary Davies.
Well, yeah, he's on the shit heap, really, isn't he?
He is. I suppose you could say the last section is the shit heap. Shall I say who they are?
Yeah.
Peter Powell.
Okay, I'm not even clear who he is.
Married to... he was married to Anthea Turner, but then she ditched him for that fella, the bloke that advertises chocolate.
Peter Powell. Right, carry on.
Bruno Brooks.
Yeah.
Mike Smith.
Smitty,
yes. He used to present Top of the Pops.
And then he had a helicopter crash and killed someone.
Well, he didn't have a helicopter crash. Didn't he have a heart attack and kill somebody?
Smitty had a helicopter crash.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah. Well, he had a helicopter crash, he killed somebody, and somehow he got on the wrong side in Noel Edmonds, didn't he? I mean, this is where the whole helicopter thing comes in, I think. You'll have to refer back, for information about this, you'll have to refer back to our Noel Edmonds podcast, which goes into this in great detail.
Absolutely. Right. So...
Mark Goodyear.
Oh, he's not on the shit heap. I used to like Goodyear.
And Jackie Brambles.
Brambles. Oh, is she the one with the sort of... Lancashire accent?
Lancashire, yeah. You know, hello. She's like that. Hello. Sally.
She ruined my Saturday mornings. Definitely, she's on the shit heap.
Right, okay, right. So do you agree with all that? Then you agree wholeheartedly with the greater, the lesser, and the shit heap?
Well, I noticed you've extracted Simon Mayo for reasons of diplomacy, so I'm with you on that.
No, Simon Mayo's on the shit heap.
Well, at least put him in the lesser.
Well, I'll transfer him over then. So he's there with he's there with Steve Wright, Pat Sharp, John Peel, Janice Long, Mike Reed and Gary Davies.
Right, okay, where do we go with this then?
Right, well, I'm just saying that lot crossed swords over the years with your Savile.
How could Janice Long cross swords with Jimmy Savile?
Not penis-wise. I'm saying metaphorically cross swords, you know, cross swords in a DJ introduction way. As we've already tried doing once, we'll try it again, shall we? Yeah? You can be... Who can you do? Can you do... can you do Fluff Freeman?
All right.
All right. Say not half.
Not half.
Right, brilliant. Okay, right. I'm Savile. You're Freeman. This is where we cross swords. You ready? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
What?
It's Thursday night. It's still number one. It's Top of the Pops. Jewellery, how's about that then? How are you then, Fluff?
What band am I meant to be presenting?
Wizard.
Okay, well, right. Start again.
Okay, it's Friday night, Top of the Pops, blah, blah, blah. Right, how's about that then? Goodness gracious, as it happens, guys and gals, jewellery, how are you, Fluff?
I'm great, thanks, Jimmy. Here's Wizard.
All right, no, you're supposed to say all right.
All right.
All right, not half.
Anything to report from your time on Earth?
Yes, the humans voluntarily listen to two idiots waffling on about television.
What do they listen with?
With their ears.
It's Watch with Mothers.
Okay. So, after... Goodness gracious me.
Goodness gracious, how's about that then? So what are we doing now then? Well, I know what we're doing.
Well, moving on from Top of the Pops, I think he did this simultaneously, didn't he?
He did, yes. Started 31st of May 1975, ran until July 1994.
Christ almighty. Again, almost 20 years again.
20 years. I mean, I can't remember it being... 1994, I was... How old was I? I was 19. I can't remember Jim All Fix. It's still being on the TV when I was 19.
I think it must have just been Christmas specials. What year did you say? 94?
Yeah, 1994.
I was 16, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, which means that throughout all of your proper childhood, because 16 you're out of your childhood really, aren't you?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, so throughout all of your proper childhood, you could have written to Jimmy Savile and still got to fix it.
Well, I don't know, did he really deal with 15-year-old boys?
Not by that time, I don't think. But we're not getting into that, it's allegations.
So Jim Will Fix It always had the same structure, same kind of tone throughout the whole thing. You had a throne on the middle of the stage.
You had Jimmy's special chair, of which there were two designs, his magic chair, and a chair team was in fact constructed by a team of boffins from the University of Reading.
Boffins, I love that word, boffins.
Boffins, eggheads, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had a magic chair which dispensed, I think it was brandy, wasn't it? Brandy and cigars.
Did it? On children's TV?
Yeah, and of course the infamous Jim Fixed It For Me medal.
Yeah, just a trinket really, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was a nice trinket. You can actually buy them, I've discovered, on the internet, a soap on a rope.
Beautiful.
So the format of the show was, obviously Jim would be there in his chair. I was about that then, jewellery. And a letter would be read out by a child. Jimmy would then have a chat with the child, and then they'd cut to a VT of that wish coming true, followed by the medal-giving ceremony, end of story.
Yeah, how many did they fit into a show? Just a couple?
I can't remember exactly how many. I'd say there were probably about five or six. It was an hour-long show.
Jesus
Christ. So depending on the dreams that needed to be fixed, I mean, starting right from the beginning, obviously you had the theme tune, then you had all that. There'd usually be a big guest, wouldn't there? One of the kids, they would write in and say, for instance, apparently one time somebody wrote in and said, can we sing live with ABBA? And then they cut to the kids singing live with ABBA, and then the kids complained, apparently, later on, that ABBA hadn't sung live, they'd mind, and they were also pissed off that as a present, they were given the 1976 Greatest Hits of ABBA album, which they moaned was already 3 years old. The ungrateful bastards!
Well, no, I think they've got a point, to be honest.
What, so if you ever meet your... Who do you like? Who do you like musically?
Oh, do you mean popular music?
Popular music.
I'm a big fan of Carly Simon.
Right, Carly Simon. So, you get your wish, you write into Jim Will Fix It, and you get your wish, sing live with Carly Simon. Yeah? That is your wish. You're there, you sing with her. Admittedly, she doesn't sing live, but you bloody do. So you've sang with Carly Simon. And then there's an added bonus after your Jim Fixed It For Me medal. Carly gives you a 3-year-old Greatest Hits album and you moan about it. Would you do that?
Well, you say I sang with her. I didn't sing with her because she was miming, like literally just moving her mouth, while I was the one belting out Coming Around Again.
So you're actually on the side of these ungrateful little madams that got to sing with ABBA.
I'm not on their side, and I'll tell you why. Because I would watch Jim Will Fix It religiously every week.
Yep.
And they would choose something ridiculous, like I would like to go and pat a llama. And I'd sit there thinking, you've wasted your fix.
Well, exactly, yeah. You've got one chance at this, and most of us don't get this chance, let's not forget. Yeah. And you've gone and fucking wasted it.
On a fucking llama.
Yeah. I mean, the missus, in fact, she's talking about wasting fixes. She was talking to me earlier on, and we were trying to figure out how many little bastards wrote in, wasted their fix by saying, dear Jim, please can you fix it for me to have a feel of Maria Whittaker's tits or Linda Lou Sardi's arsehole?
Well, it was never going to be allowed, was it?
No, so they wasted their wish. I mean, I would say, I've got a song that sums up the Jim Will Fix It experience for the vast majority of British children in the 1970s and 80s. Do you want to hear it?
If we must.
Right, are you ready for this?
I suppose I am.
Good. I sent a letter, I wasn't a part of it. My letter was not the start of it. It didn't do it. It didn't fix it for me. There was something that I wished to do. Just one thing that I always wanted to. I didn't do it. Jim didn't fix it for me. Not me, not me, not bastard. Bastard. That's what it was like.
I think you've summed up the feelings of an entire generation.
Of an entire generation. Do you know how many times I wrote to that bastard Jimmy Savile?
I was going to say, what did you ask Jimmel?
I asked him if I could feel Linda Lusardi's tits. I got this hideous diarrhea coming out of my anus. I'd rather be welcome to the Watch with Mothers mini amble. Is that all right?
Around about now, listeners, we like to take a little time out, kick back, put our feet up, talk about progress. How are we doing?
I think, for a change, I think it's going all right. That could be the kiss of death.
Well, going all right, despite the fact that you lost all of part two.
Apart from that bit, yeah, and when we did a kind of garbled version of what we'd done before, Top of the Pops. If that Top of the Pops thing didn't sound very good, that's because obviously we had already done it before, and, well, it's free, isn't it? So, you know.
Doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter. It's free. So, just if you listen back to that and think, God, this is awful, don't forget to put in the bit at the end that says... But it is free. So, the mini amble.
Yeah, ready for the mini amble. Right, I do like a mini amble. I don't know, but I like a mini amble. It breaks things up nicely, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It gets you away from the Savile or the Edmonds or whatever madness. You can take a little bit of a break in between.
Have you got a brew there?
I have got a brew. I've got a cup of coffee. How's about yourself?
Nice cup of English tea
English
for me.
English tea, oh, I see. You're pulling some kind of British rank on me, are you?
Not at all. I think that's your paranoia speaking. I'm quite fond of coffee as well.
Right, okay, then. As long as it's just the fact you added the word English in there. As if tea comes from England.
Well, it does.
It doesn't come from England. It comes from India or Ceylon. You can't say Ceylon now, can you? You can say Sri Lanka. Political correctness gone mad, that.
So what is the purpose of today's MIDIAMBLE?
Well, I was wondering if you wanted to talk about technological advances.
Well, yeah, it was as good a topic as any. Go on.
I'm thinking the tea's made, the toaster, the sandwich toaster, the microwave, and the George Foreman grill. What would be your favourite out of those?
Can you list them again?
The tea's made, the toaster, the sandwich toaster, the microwave, or the George Foreman grill?
I've never owned a George Foreman grill.
Right, you've never owned one of those. Okay, hang on. Wait a minute. No. Right, go on.
Sandwich toasters are very handy, but they're a bit of a bastard to clean.
They are a bit of a bastard to clean. Are you like quite a lot of people in this country that they have four toasted sandwiches in their brand new sandwich toaster, and then that's it. It's put to the back of the cupboard.
I am in terms of the home, but when I worked in an office, I was at it every day because I didn't have to clean it.
Right. I mean, me, I just don't clean it. I just keep cooking sandwiches in it.
And scrape cheese off it.
But I don't have cheese, you see. I only ever have ham toasted sandwiches.
Just ham?
Just ham. I know, everybody does this. What do you mean? Just ham? No cheese? No beans? But how does it rise? It rises. Believe me, it rises.
No, I don't believe you. But that's not my favourite off the list.
Right, well, what would be your favourite?
Microwaves I have no time for.
No time? What, not even ready meals?
Not even ready meals.
Okay, right, what about microwave popcorn?
Oh, that's a point, having a popcorn. Actually, I want popcorn outlawed.
Why?
Even in the home.
Why?
Because if you're watching a film, even in the home, and even if it's just you on your own eating popcorn, you can't hear the film for popcorn.
Right, so in the cinema scenario, you think popcorn's worse than four teenage girls pissing about in their mobiles, having phone conversations, the boyfriend swaggering in and out, and then if you say anything, you get bleach thrown in your face.
Well, I didn't say that, did I?
Well, that's what you're thinking. Anyway, right, I put no next to microwave. What is your favourite?
What's left?
The toaster or the tea's made?
Well, you can always use a grill, can't you, for toast?
You can indeed, yes, that's right. But you could argue you could always use a kettle and a pot for a pot of tea.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but no one has ever been woken up by a kettle and a pot.
They have not, indeed, you're correct. So you would say that the greatest technological advance is...
Well, by a process of elimination, it's the tea's made.
Tea's made, right. So if the listeners would like to take note of that, I've just written it down here. The tea's made. Right, well, there we go. I think that's that decided.
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes. Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes. I will watch with mothers.
Right, back to the grind. It's time to talk some more about Jim will fix it.
Yes, I was going to mention famous fix-its from the old days in the last one, but we got a bit distracted by, was it Maria Whittaker's tits or was it Linda Lusardi's knockers?
They all just merge into one fleshy mound for me.
Right, yeah, kind of a glamorous 80s tit mound of arseholes. Mm. So, famous fix-its from the era of the fix-it, which obviously we've discovered is 75 to 94. It's a long time.
Mm.
Now, the famous, probably the most famous, was of course the Scouts on the roller coaster.
Yeah, I was going to say that was Jim will fix it, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Jim will fix it. I mean, they actually brought back Jim will fix it a while ago. Do you remember? It was called Jim will fix it strikes again, where they recreated fix-its from the olden days, and they got some of these. They weren't, in fact, Scouts, they were Cubs. They'd got them all back 20-odd years later and put them on a roller coaster, same roller coaster in Blackpool, gave them the same food. Guess what the result was?
Vomit.
Exactly the same. Yeah, and well, there was probably more kidney stones and heart attacks by that stage, but it was pretty much the same.
What I never understood about that was that clearly you've got a pack of cubs. Are they a pack? Collective noun?
Yeah, that'll be it.
I think it's a pack, like a pack of wolves. But
it'll be a piss of cubs?
Yeah, they've got a piss of cubs. Probably, right. What, 20 in a piss?
There's a lot in a piss.
So they've got 20 pissing cubs.
Right.
And they say to them, by committee, you can collectively choose a fix-it.
One dream,
one hope, one vision. Nice. And by committee, I don't know what the voting system was, they opted to eat their lunch on a roller coaster.
In Blackpool.
How would that work?
Well, I'd say for, you know, the bigger cubs in the piss, they'd have gone for a food-related thing, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so say that's tossed in there, food. And then other kids, in the 70s, what do you have in the 70s that was big with kids? You had Deedly Bopper thingy-me-bobs, you had Deedly Boppers, you had Space Hoppers, you had Spangles, Kung Fu and Roller Coasters. Yeah? They were the big thing in the 1970s. Now, I reckon at least 40% of them would have gone for roller coasters. So in the hat, you've got food, you've got roller coasters. Combine the two, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, but sandwiches is what they ate.
Well, sandwiches are food.
Yeah, but they're not very exciting food, are they?
They're not very exciting. Well, what is exciting food? Stuff shaped like tits or dicks?
Well, cake is exciting.
What, cake shaped? I actually made a cake shaped like a dick once. It was appalling.
Well, I imagine it would be if you made it.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd make a cake that would be hilarious, so I made it shaped like a cock and balls. And you know how you have cakes with rum in them and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, booze cakes. Well, I thought, well, the principle still stands if I use lager. So I made a lager cake shaped like a cock and balls. It was inedible.
Who did you make that for?
Do you remember Big Al?
Big Al.
Yeah, Big Al.
No, was he at school?
Yeah, he was at school, yeah, Big Al. I won't mention his last name. I don't think it's right to mention people's names on here.
Oh, was
Big
he
Al.
Was he an apprentice dentist?
He could be an apprentice dentist if he worked in forensics.
Yeah, I remember him. So you made him a chocolate cake soaked in lager in the shape of a phallus.
No, it was lager-flavoured cake with, what was it? Vodka icing, pink vodka icing. It didn't rise because I kept opening the door. And, well, he refused to eat it. It's understandable because it was disgusting.
Did it actually look like a large phallus?
It did. It looked like a cock and balls covered in bad quality icing. I had vodka in the icing.
So, other famous fix-its?
Call me Gordon Ramsay. Now, other famous fix-its, you had Peter Cushing, who wrote into the show in 1986... to ask that a rose could be named after his late wife, and apparently he put that rose in his wife's grave in France, according to you.
I remember that. It was very sweet. I was a big fan of the Hammer Horrors as a child. And
your Cushing. You can't beat your Cushing, mate. And what I love most about Peter Cushing was the fact he was also a cartoonist.
Well, you can beat Cushing, because Lee trumps him every time.
No, he doesn't, because usually Lee, by the end of the film, was a pile of dust, whereas Cushing was still standing.
Yeah, but still, the performance of Lee would tower over Cushing's. Even though Cushing was an essential cog in the wheel of Hammer mechanics, I would say that Lee is the one who leaves the biggest impression.
So you're that kind of a creature, are you? You kick a sidekick in the balls. You're a piss on Ernie Wise sort of a fella, are you?
Well, let's face it, I dominate you every podcast.
No, you don't.
Continue.
Right. Finally, Antiques Roadshow. There was a girl wrote into Antiques Roadshow. No, I wrote into Jim Will Fix It. She says, "Dear Jim Will Fix It, can I smash something really well that seems valuable on Antiques Roadshow?" So they had on Antiques Roadshow, the fellow, I think, with a moustache, says, "Oh, this is amazing, this. It's worth, ooh, at least £1 million. Whoa, whoa, whoa!" Like that, dropped it, smashed all over the floor. And obviously everybody at the Antiques Roadshow was horrified. But what they didn't know was it was all a ruse for Jim Will Fix It.
Well, that's Noel Edmonds territory, that, isn't it? Or
that
Beagle.
Is Noel Edmonds territory. That's more of a gotcha than a fix-it, to be honest. I mean, yeah. a proper fix-it. Do you remember that little bastard that wrote in and asked to burn £1 million?
That was the KLF.
Oh, yeah, that could have been the KLF.
Right, we're pressed for time now, so shall we move on to the next part of this segment?
Yeah, fuck it.
We can do it now, if you like.
Can we do it now? Fuck it. Right. Oh God, right. Apparently, according to my agenda here, it says we're doing a revival of Jim Will Fix It. Right, so we're doing a reenactment. Are you ready for this?
Who am I, then?
Right, well, I'll be Savile. You can be the little boy, yeah?
I'm a little boy, right.
Right, so if you've got a letter ready, yeah, shall we do the theme tune together?
3, 2, 1...
Your letter was only the start of it. One letter, and now you're a part of it. Now you've done it.
Jimmy's done it. Jimmy's fixed it for you.
And you, and you, and you. Ba 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 ba. That'll do.
Is it, you're presenting it, yeah?
Right, so I'm Savile, right? So we've had loads of bits already. We've had a bit with the Cub Scouts and the Antiques Roadshow and that little bastard writing in. So it's your bit now. Right, I'm in my big chair. I've got my brandy, I've got my cigar, yeah? Just to give the listeners at home a visual. Is it visual?
A visual, yeah.
Right, a visual. Right, here we go. So you ready? Now then, how's about that then? Goodness gracious, as it happens, guys and gals, jewellery, lovely. Do you see, welcome, do you see, back to Jim Will Fix It, guys and gals, how's about that then? Now I've got a little fella here who's got a request from old Uncle Jimmel. So could you please read your letter out now, please?
Dear Jimmel, please fix it for me to sing a song with my hero, Engelbert Humperdinck. I want to be just like Engelbert when I grow up, even though he looks like a burns victim with sideburns. Yours, Timmy Five Fingers.
That's brilliant. That was I like that voice. That was brilliant. Sorry, I was about that then. So now you want to sing, is that right, with Engelbert Humperdinck?
Yes, please.
What do you like about Engelbert Humperdinck?
I like his face and his singing.
You like his face even though he's got strange eyes?
Yes, I like his face.
He's got very thick hair, hasn't he?
Yes, he has got very thick hair.
Do you like a man who's got very thick hair?
Can we sing the song, please?
Do you like a man who's got very thick sideburns?
Yes.
Over to you, Engelbert Humperdinck and Timmy Five Fingers. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Engelbert Humperdinck. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Engelbert.
Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
Here we go. Please. Pass that bit now. So, audience, round of applause. And then back to Jimmy. Right, you ready?
Yeah.
You ready? Oh, lovely, lovely. How's about that then? That was brilliant. Did you enjoy singing with Engelbert Humperdinck?
Yes.
How much did you enjoy it? Did you like his luxurious, thick hair?
Yes.
Jewellery, lovely. Well, if you come over here and sit in Uncle Jimmy's lap, not in that way, jewellery, do you see? I'll give you this. It says Jim's fixed it for me. Do you like that?
Yes.
Well, as it happens, I've got something else for you. It's a 3-year-old album of Engelbert Humperdinck's greatest hits. Do you like that?
No.
You ungrateful little bastard.
If you are
firstly, apologies for that last segment.
Why? What was wrong with that?
Well, listen back to it when I've put all this together, if I can manage to put it together.
Right.
And we'll see how we feel about it. But now we can move on to the later years.
Well, before we do, I think we should. It is worth mentioning a couple of things he did in the 70s and late 80s, which were, of course, his public information films. Right. Which were all around wearing a seatbelt, because obviously back in the day nobody ever wore a seatbelt, did they?
No, because on That's Life they were always highlighting it, weren't they?
They were, yeah. Well, as well as That's Life doing it, Savile did it in a series of public information films, and they were so successful, you know, the whole clunk, click, every trip, that catchphrase, everything was so successful that in that weird, enthusiastic 1970s way, the BBC then commissioned a show starring Jimmy Savile called Clunk Click.
Right. What happened in Clunk Clip?
It was a general entertainment show, apparently. It was replaced 2 years later by Jim Will Fix It, when I think everybody realised what a stupid bloody idea it was. But it was just, you know, Savile introducing people like Shirley Bassey and what have you.
And did it have any reference to road safety whatsoever?
No, it wasn't like the commercials themselves, where there's many of you ladies lead busy lives. Now then, you've the kids to take to school, the shopping to buy, and the laundry to be collected. Do you remember that one?
Not really, no.
Yeah, well, and then it shows a load of women going through. Through windscreens and saying, now you may go and do these chores at the start of your day with one face and come home at the end with a completely different face. And they'd show this vile, scarred, hideous, deformed woman. And so remember, if you don't want a hideously deformed face, clunk, click, every trip.
That sounds horrific.
Oh. Well, it was the 70s, wasn't it? You had all those public information things. So anyway, well, he did that. And then, obviously, he advertised Intercity 125 trains, didn't he? Which, obviously, the novelty of those was, about 20 years after everybody else, Britain, the inventor of the railways, got trains that travelled at 125 miles an hour, to which Savile proclaimed, "This is the age of the train."
Yeah, but ours would have been better, wouldn't they? Because they have kilometres overseas, so ours were probably faster.
So, what, is 125 miles an hour is actually faster than 125 kilometres an hour, isn't it?
So we win.
Lovely jubbly. Right, so I suppose that just leaves the dark side of Savile.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but it's unavoidable after the whole Louis Theroux farrago.
Louis Theroux.
Louis Theroux.
Louis Theroux.
Yeah, I mean, it was uncomfortable viewing, wasn't it?
Well, it was. I mean, the problem with Jimmy Savile, because he is eccentric and now he's old, now all old people are quite stuck in their ways, aren't they?
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, and the problem with Jimmy is, a bit like the Paul Daniels one he did before, to an outside perspective, so I'd say a sniggering 20-year-old or a 30, whatever, they all come across as weird and old-fashioned, stuck in their ways and peculiar. And because they've lived their entire lives in the showbiz glare, their weirdness and peculiarities are bigger than everybody else's. So
true.
All of Jimmy's weirdness seemed to be exaggerated even more because he was Jimmy Savile.
I don't know, though. He was very weird, though.
He was. He was like a caricature. All those impressions that people have done of Jimmy Savile all the way down the years seem to come horribly true.
Well, he had that friend, didn't he? Jim the Pill. This is my good friend, Jim the Pill.
Yeah. What, is that the bloke that looks scared?
The bloke who constantly looks scared, like a sort of camp personal assistant. He was like a male Lynn from Alan
Please
Partridge.
Please don't kill me, Jimmy Savile.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I don't want you to kill me, Jimmy Savile. I don't want you to preserve me in polythine.
Polythine. So, yeah, you had Jim the Pill. You had the orchestrated charity event.
Yes. You that had the bit where he was sulking in his caravan. Or was it? No, was he sulking in his car? I can't remember now.
It was a caravan.
It was a motorhome.
It was a caravan.
It was a caravan. Do you see?
So, goodness gracious. And there was also the alcohol denial, which was all a bit strange.
The alcohol denial?
Well, he denied he drank alcohol, then they found a bottle of booze, and then later on he was pissed, wasn't he?
Oh, right. Was that what led to him sitting there saying about how he used to beat the shit out of people when he was a when he was a bouncer and all that.
And threaten police inspectors with, well, wrongdoing on their daughter, put it that way.
Right, so...
You know, your girl, she comes in here. How would you feel if two of my big buggers were set upon her? Remember that?
Did he go, now then, at the end of it?
Yeah, just to lighten the mood, yeah.
Lighten the mood. Because, I mean, if I was threatening somebody's daughter with something like that, I'd at least go, how's about that, then? Goodness gracious, do you know what I'm going to do? Because well, you think, yeah, it didn't sound too bad.
Yeah, I mean, in his defence, the next day he said it was all just a joke, you know.
Did he? Yeah, but like we say, this is the dark side of Jimmy Savile.
Well, everyone's allowed a dark side. I mean, if Louis Theroux were to follow me around for a week or two, he'd be shit bored, I tell you that.
Well, I'd like to see somebody follow Louis Theroux around. I bet you any money he's quite weird.
Well, I bet he farts occasionally.
Yeah, I bet he farts. He probably wakes up in the night and farts into water bottles that he's already got by the side of his bed. This is Louis Theroux. He gets up, he farts into a water bottle, he puts the lid on dead quick, and then he turns to his missus in the morning and says, would you like a drink? She opens the bloody thing, whoosh, like that. Bob's your uncle. That's how weird I bet he is.
That's not actually that weird.
Isn't it? Well, do you do that?
I don't do it, but trapping a fart is actually quite funny, isn't it?
The Dutch oven.
Exactly, the Dutch oven.
The Dutch oven, yeah. You fart under the covers and then say, hey, love, get a load of that. Bob's your uncle. Many a relationship is founded on those rocks.
What is a Dutch oven? What's the euphemism based on?
Well, I assume that all ovens in Holland smell of farts under duvets. Dear Jim, my tip, can you make this thing I've invented in my head? It's long and thin, it makes ladies grin when they use it in their beds. I've a prototype that I've made from a pipe, it's sitting in my shed. Oh, I tried it on the wife and she screamed for a life, and for that you can plainly see. It would be very, very nice if my pleasuring device was featured on the BBC. On Jim will fix it.
And with trapped farts and Louis Theroux on our mind, we have finished the podcast.
We're savelled up.
Yeah, do you think that was a successful effort?
I think it went well. I think some bits were better than others. Well, I think, to be honest, some bits were worse than others. There was a couple of good bits, but mainly bad bits. I don't know if the reenactment, now you've said it was a success. I'm not entirely sure about that. But I again bring us back to the point that it is free. So... you can't get us.
Yeah, it's a handy disclaimer. If we did start charging, we'd be refunding immediately, I believe.
We would be refunding, obviously. If you'd paid, for instance... Ooh, what do you think? £3?
£3 per episode.
£3?
Maybe £3 a month.
All right, well, okay. If you'd paid £3 a month and you just listened to that, I think we'd now owe you at least £1.50.
Oh, you're putting ideas in my head now, because if we charge £3 a month, and we've probably got about 17 listeners, how much would that be? £3 times 17.
Hang on a minute. 17 times 3, did you say?
Yeah, so if you times 7 by 3 first.
Right, hang on. 7 times 6. So 7 plus 7 is 14, is it? And then I've got to put another 7, and 7 plus 4 is 11... that's 21, right? What am I doing now?
So we get £21.
No, because I've not done... that's 3 times 7. We've got to do 17 times 3.
Oh, right, so you just do 3 times the 10.
3 times the 10, so 2 tens of 20. Add another, that's 30. Right, so I've got to add 30, 30 to 21, is that right?
Yeah, so what's 3 add 2?
Three plus two. I've not done maths this way before. Hold on. Three plus two. Right, that's 5. But I've still got... I've got a 1 here. I've got a stray 1. We need an egghead!
So how much would we make if we sold it?
50-something. We need an egghead. Is there a boffin? We need an egghead!
What's with mothers? What's with mothers?